Well, as you know, the Beatles and St. Paul have something in common, don't they? Because they both wrote, "All You Need Is Love." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." It's the great passage on love, isn't it? It's one of the passages that people are most likely to have read at weddings. It appears on posters and bookmarks and Christian bits of pottery and souvenirs and stuff like that. And they're beautiful words. They're beautiful words, and it's wonderful poetry. Yet in truth, I put it to you that when Paul wrote these words to that church in Corinth, he was actually telling them off. For the reality in the church in Corinth was that it was a church that was strong on gifts but weak in love. It was strong on gifts but weak in love. So all the things that Paul says love is in this passage, if you were actually to go through the letter, you'd find illustrations from the church in Corinth that these things that love is, they weren't. But Paul wants to communicate this to that church in such a way that they want to change. He wants to communicate it to them in a way that they can make connections for themselves and think, we need to change. That's what Paul is trying to do in this passage. So as we approach this well-known passage, let's follow together his argument as he builds it up. Let's have a look at what he says and the way in which he says it. And through that, let's see what the Lord was saying to that church all those years ago in Corinth, and perhaps what he might be saying to his church today. Now, I don't know if you noticed, as we look at those three opening verses, but there is a pattern, there is a rhythm to them. I don't know if you can put all three up, you might only be able to put two up, but two out of three ain't bad. If you look, you'll see that there's a pattern there, because there are three very well-crafted conditions. Do you notice each one of them starts with the word if? If. Then. They're all crafted like that, and it builds up. As you go through them from verse 1 to verse 3, you get three kind of conditions, and each one goes just a little bit deeper in its challenge. So let's have a look at the first one. Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Each one of these says, if, but have not love, then. Now it's interesting how he does this, because he gives this challenge that in truth is to the Corinthian church via himself. So he says, you know, if I have not love, if I. And I think he's doing that to enable them to be able to say, oh, well, if it's him, then it's also us. Do you see, it's a way of communicating in order to get them to think about themselves without actually saying you and pointing a finger. That's what he's doing. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, if we were to read, you know, I always love when I'm doing a letter to have a peek at the chapter before and one at the chapter after it, because that kind of gives it a bit of context in terms of what he's saying. He's not writing this in isolation, it's in the context of the whole of his letter. And if we were to read on into chapter 14, guess what? There's lots about the use and misuse of the gift of tongues. And it's clearly this gift of tongues, the tongues of angels, it's clearly a gift that the church in Corinth really prized highly. This was an important one. This was a big one. So what he's doing is he's starting by focusing on something that they think is just the top of the tops, really important. And he's saying that it's no use having that gift that you value so much and prize so highly if it's not governed and directed by love. That's not music in the ears of God. It's rather a resounding gong. Or, well, it's kind of a metal tube or something that makes rather a hollow and empty sound. Or a clashing cymbal. So if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, these were sounds that church, well, actually everyone living in Corinth, would have been very familiar with. Because these cymbals were actually the sounds that the pagans used in their worship and sometimes accompanied them with ecstatic utterances. That's how the pagans called each other to worship. So these are quite hard-hitting things that Paul is saying. He's saying, you Corinthians, who really prize the gift of tongues, in a nutshell, if you do that, if you speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but you don't have love, you're no better than the pagans down the road. That's what he's saying. You're no better than the pagans down the road. That's quite an opening statement to kick off our cuddly passage on love, isn't it? Well, he doesn't stop there, because we've got verse 2, haven't we? Let's have a look at that. Same formula. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I've got faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing. So now he's moving into some more serious gifts. Now, if you were to turn back to chapter 12, you'd see a list of spiritual gifts, of charismata. You see? So he's now into that territory, the chapter before, and all these gifts that are so important and viewed so highly in Corinth. He said, chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. Gift of prophecy can fathom all mysteries, all knowledge, and can move mountains. You know, there's some real status involved in some of those gifts. You know, if I was Bob the mountain mover, I could get very into myself, couldn't I? And there was a problem with pride in the church of Corinth. Real status involved in some of these prophetic gifts, to be the prophetic voice of the church or the official mountain mover. You know, that could make a person someone, couldn't it? And it's not as if he says, and if you can fathom some mysteries or you have some knowledge. No, what he says here, it's all very well chosen, you know. He says, if I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, Now, I don't know if you caught when Rob read later on verses 9 to 12, but actually Paul then goes on to say, now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. That's why he's used the word all here, you see, to balance with what he writes later on. Because it ain't true, you're not going to be doing it. But even if you could, know everything and prophesy everything, that doesn't make you important. I am nothing. That doesn't make you somebody. No. Because if you don't have love, you're nothing. Now, Paul isn't saying that these gifts aren't important, so do not read that into what I'm saying or into what he's saying. He doesn't say these gifts aren't important and great and wonderful and amazing. He's not saying that at all. He's not setting them in contrast to love. He's not saying either or either. Don't read that into it. He's not saying that. But rather he's saying that these things, these supernatural gifts, are only of real value when they're called forth by love and used in love. That's when they take on the value. When they're called forth by love and used in love. So finally, he now moves beyond those, if you like, charismata, those spiritual gifts, and gets very practical. Let's go to the third one of these three statements. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Giving everything I have, not just giving a tithe, you know, I mean, he's talking about, you know, kind of flogging my prized set of copper saucepans that we were given for our wedding present 25 years ago. We talk about giving the poor those. This is serious stuff. This is not, if I just give something or a token gesture, I'm very generous, or half. It's this all again, isn't it? If I give everything I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. But you say, wait a minute. Surely if I gave everything that I have to the poor, well, isn't that act in itself a sign of the love? Duh. The fact that I do that, that shows that I love, doesn't it? Well, I'm not sure about that. Let me tell you, give an example of that. As I was driving home the other day, past the Triangle, there's this very, I saw on the paper, a very exuberant seller of The Big Issue. Now, he reminded me of Tigger. Not that he was striped, but that he would actually physically bounce up to each individual person with a huge, great grin on his face and say, you want to buy The Big Issue, don't you? And as the lights had gone red, so I got a chance to see a few reactions for this lovely guy. And you could see on people's, he did get some money, but you could see on their faces sort of how or why they were giving it. It was ever so interesting to see. A lot of people did give him money, but you could tell some people were giving him money to get him out of their face. That's true. Some people were giving him money, perhaps because they felt guilty that they had money, and he didn't. Some people were giving him money because they had some loose change anyway, and it's not worth anything, just giving the loose change. And I bet some people were giving him money because they truly loved him and wanted to bless him. But not all those givings were motivated and done in love. Do you see what I'm saying? So actually, he has got a point when he says, I might give everything I possess to the poor, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I have love. If I give everything I've got to the poor but have not love, I gain nothing. Don't know if any of you have seen the new cinema film, Les Miserables. But if you've got a spare 3 hours, then it's out there to watch. And if not, you might be a literary reader and read Robert Louis Stevenson, but they both use this same quote. They say this: you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Can I just say that again? You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And so finally, Paul moves to the ultimate act of self-giving. Even if you give your very life, he says, even if I surrender my body to the flames, without love, I gain nothing. That is about as stark as you can get. If you weren't blunt, that's blunt. I mean, if the people who read this letter didn't get the first two verses, you just can't dodge the third one, can you? It's just in your face. It's black and white. And it's stark. So what do we make of this? Of these three really very hard-hitting statements given to the Corinthian church in the context of what they thought about themselves and how good they thought they were. About love, the agape love of God. Well, I think it's this. I think that it isn't about what we do. It's not about what we do, but it's rather about why and how we do it. It's not so much about what we do, it's about why and how we do the things that we do. It's not about what other people see from the outside in terms of our actions. It's about, I think, what's going on in the inside. I remember in the Old Testament, it says, man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. In the book of Samuel. Are we fueled and motivated by God's love on the inside? Because the wonderful thing is that God is love. And God wants to fuel us with his love. And you know, it's not like fueling a car. You don't run out. God's love, his supply of love, you'll never run that out. Love is a thing that you can give away and you never have any less at the end of the day in your supply. You can just keep giving it away. Isn't that great? What a gift! Fueled and motivated by God's love on the inside. Now that rather begs a question, doesn't it? If I have not love, it begs, well, to me it begs a question. Well, what does love look like then? If it's not that, what is this love? What does this love on the inside look like? And so now Paul launches in to these wonderful verses about what love is. If but have not love, love is bang. And the sunshine, the love of Christ shines through those verses. Here then is what love looks like. And if you want to know what love looks like, then you have to wait till next week when Graham Loder comes and preaches on these verses. But in the meantime, if you're curious, then I'll give you some advice. You could just look at Jesus. If you want to know what love looks like, then look at Jesus. And that's really what we're going to do now. And I don't know if you could, the music group could come up, because we're going to sing "Here Is Love, Wide as the Ocean," thinking about God's love shown to us through Jesus and what he did for us. And then we're going to gather around the Lord's table, the agape, which is the Greek word for love, which sometimes it's referred to as. And we're going to remember the love that Jesus has shown us. We're going to remember what he did for us. Because as it says in the Gospel of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.